People die on the tracks, unfortunately, pretty regularly in the Philadelphia region.
Jason Lachlan has been covering SEPTA for the Philadelphia Inquirer for the last 4 years.
It can happen almost every month, sometimes more than that, depending on the year.
Because these deaths on the tracks were so common, there was something Jason really wanted to know.
How does this affect the people that are operating those trains?
And he found out for many of them, it's a traumatic hazard of the trade. Why is dealing with death on the track seen as just part of the job at SEPTA? And what's being done to help employees cope? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. How often do these incidents happen?
They seem to happen roundabouts once a month. And we found that nationally, a little less than half of all train engineers have this experience. But here in the Philadelphia region on the regional rail, those engineers, it's probably more like 6 in 10 of them have had that experience. Yeah.
Of hitting someone.
Yeah. Yep. There's sort of a rule of thumb in railroad operations that if you can see it, it's too late to avoid hitting it.
Oh, my.
These trains, some of them can be going upwards of 110 miles an hour for SEPTA. For Amtrak, it can be even faster than that. And it can take half a mile to a mile to stop that train from the moment you hit the brakes to when the train actually stops moving. About a third of trespassing deaths are suicides. And we focused on that in the story because those are particularly awful. There's other kinds of trespassers, and it can be a matter of somebody who's got headphones in and isn't paying attention, or maybe even is looking at their smartphone as they're crossing the tracks.
This must be a traumatic experience for any operator.
It is. We had people tell us some really personal, really intimate stories. One of them was a regional rail engineer named Raylan Dickerson. She was telling us how she started being an engineer in 2007, and she had her first fatality about 10 years ago. It was in 2010, and it was a guy who was walking on the tracks.
I just thought he was just trespassing, because you get that a lot around that station. There's a lot of people that just walk across those tracks just to get from one side to the other.
He did have headphones on. She was going about 60 miles an hour, approaching a station, hit the brakes, pulled the emergency valve. Because at that point, there's nothing else the engineer can do. You don't have control anymore. You've shut the train down. So all it is now is the train stopping on its own. And she stepped out of the cab because she said, I didn't want to feel the train going over this person.
It was upsetting because, I'm sorry. You don't want to hit him. The thing that just bothers me is I think because I just care. Like, I feel that there could have been some help. I just wish they got help.
Was Raylan able to get any help?
Yes. Engineers who go through this experience, engineers and operators, subway operators, they can get treatment if they ask for it. Raylan did not do that. She decided to get back to work. SEPTA's policy and most railroads' policies around the country is you get 3 paid days after this. And then after that, without a clinical kind of request, you have to come back to work. So she did. And on her first day back, had a really hard time.
I still cringe when I see somebody coming near the tracks or somebody's not holding their kid's hand and they're running closer to the train. You know, should I be precautious and just put the train in emergency? And it turns out to be nothing. Now I'm throwing people around in the back. And I'm like, what do I do?
It's hard to imagine that more than half of SEPTA engineers go through this.
It is. And it's a cultural thing. You know, some of the people I talked to were very accepting of it and said, it's, you know, you get used to it or you don't get used to it. One of the guys I interviewed, Jim Ridgway, he's hit 15 people.
15?
Which 6 of them died. He's going to retire next year. He's 61 years old. And he said, you know, it affects you. But he said, you know, it's the job. It's part of the thing you have to accept if you're doing this job.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jason, what kind of impact does something like this have on your mental health?
It can really vary by person. Some people are deeply traumatized. Some people, you know, recover pretty quickly. But in general, it does have an effect. The typical person will have trouble sleeping, will have nightmares. It seems like generally there is an effect on people, and it's just kind of how they deal with that.
Yeah.
Is what varies. Yeah.
Clearly takes a toll.
Yeah.
When we come back,
I want to stop my train in the middle of the platform and say, look, man, can you stop playing in front of our trains?
This is The Why.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Annette John Hall. We're talking to Philadelphia Inquirer reporter Jason Laughlin about the trauma rail operators experience when they hit someone on the tracks, which happens about once a month in our area. About a third of these incidents are considered suicides. So, Jason, do we know why so many people are deciding to die by trains?
This is a great question. And as SEPTA said in the story, they're puzzled by it themselves. They're working with a research organization called the Volpe Institute, which is specifically looking at this issue of suicides and deaths on tracks and what can prevent it. In general, some of the things that seem to drive this are density of an area, access to tracks. It's kind of common sense, but if a person chooses to die by train tracks, it's because maybe they live near that, and that's what's available to them. There is issues when it comes to the suicides of economics. Stress, drug and alcohol use may play a role.
In your reporting, you learned that SEPTA operators actually have a name for suicides that happen on tracks, right?
Yeah, on the subway system, on the L and the Broad Street line, they call them jump jobs.
Jump jobs.
Yeah.
So you talked to Ron Farlow about the jump jobs he had experienced and, you know, the people surviving suicide.
I've had two jump jobs, one fatality, one non-fatality.
The first, the woman survived. And he actually talked to her while she was under his train, and they were able to get her out. The second was not. The second was a person who did die. So Ron did end up going and getting some counseling, and he took 6 weeks off. But he's back at work. He's been operating a train ever since then. But did say, you know, you still feel this anxiety when you see people close to the edge of the track. Mm-hmm.
I am a little more conscious of when I come in. I'm a little... When I see somebody and I look in their face, I just don't know. And I do slow down a lot more now.
And everyone I talk to, particularly on the subway side, said it drives them nuts because they'll still see people holding their arms out in front of the train.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll still see people sitting on the edge of the platform or pretending to jump.
I want to stop my train in the middle of the platform and say, look, man, can you stop playing in front of our trains? And there's a lot of us down here that have issues. We have trauma. Please, it's not a game when you want to act like you're about to jump in front of a train.
Well, Jason, it sounds like, you know, Ron and Raylan chose to stay. Did you ask them why they stay?
Yeah, I did. And, you know, they all have different reasons. And there's, I think, not just one reason. I think that they're really proud of their jobs. It's a prestige job if you're in transportation. It pays very well.
How much does it pay?
The average with overtime for an engineer is $95,000, and for
bad.
A subway operator, it's $71,000. And that's the average. So you can make quite a bit of money doing it.
Because you work a lot of overtime, right?
They work a lot of overtime. On the railroad, for the engineers, it's six-day weeks typically.
Jason, is SEPTA doing anything to try to cut down on death on the tracks?
Yeah, they did say that the solutions they've been using are not effective enough. So next year, they said they're going to start having staff that are on the platforms be trained to identify behaviors that might indicate suicidal thoughts and have personnel able to intervene. On the City Hall stop on the subway system, they are planning to put up some barriers which are, in other places, are hugely effective. One study that looked at Hong Kong, which has had barriers for a while, said that it reduced subway suicides by 60%.
Wow.
Talking to some mental health experts, suicide can often be a very sort of impulsive decision. A person can be depressed for a long time, but the moment of truth may be very sudden. And if you can put up a barrier to that, if you can make it hard for that to happen, you may pass through that crisis moment and the person may end up not doing it at all.
What about the workers themselves, the operators? Is anybody calling for any further intervention for them?
You know, a lot of the experts I talked to, mental health folks, did say there probably should be some changes. One of the people I interviewed was Patrick Sherry. He's a professor at the University of Denver.
And I've been studying this topic since the early 90s.
And he said there probably is room for more support for these people.
I think the important piece is for supervisors that they become aware of the symptoms and the consequences of being involved in these kinds of incidents.
Some of the folks I talked to did say 3 days is not enough. They should get more time. Other people said getting back to work can actually be fairly therapeutic. He said that's fine.
Not everybody responds to these in the same way. In other words, you know, I can't say, okay, take 3 aspirin and, you know, go to bed and drink orange juice when you get up. That's not going to work. Everybody has a different response to the trauma.
He really recommended a 30-day evaluation after one of these incidents happens. He noted that PTSD, that can take days or weeks to show up. The industry itself, this is all fairly new for them to be dealing with. It's only 5 years that the railroad industry had requirements at all to do anything. And it's been maybe a decade or so of recognizing that these events really do create trauma for people and training managers and supervisors to be sensitive to what the engineers are going through. So we're sort of in the midst of developing awareness. So
sure,
there may be more down the line as, you know, the industry as a whole culturally kind of becomes more sensitive to this.
Jason, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Philadelphia Inquirer transportation reporter Jason Laughlin. He reported this story with Dylan Purcell. If you or somebody you know is in crisis, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Binyakov, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari. Our intern is Jade Chandler. Special thanks to the Philadelphia Inquirer for use of their audio. Tweet me at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.